Ghostbusters.net.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part one of our series titled, The Diligent Person.
Waiting is not standing still. Waiting is serving. If you're waiting on God, can you be waiting on God doing like this? Waiting on God to drop it on me. I think if God asks you, what are you doing, and you say you're waiting on him, he's going to disagree with you. Because you're not serving him. You're not doing his will. That's waiting, but that isn't the waiting on God he's talking about. I would not tip a waiter that doesn't wait on me. Or I'm not talking about waiting on me in the back room. And I'm like, where's my food at? Hey, man. And he showed up with the bill, so okay, I'm ready to get paid. I did a good job to get a nice tip. Man, I hadn't seen you since you came and took the order. Well, I was waiting on you back there. You weren't waiting on me at all. Nobody was waiting on this table. Now, what kind of argument is he going to make? Same argument some Christians gonna make when they say, God, I was waiting on you. Jesus already served the ball when he died. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He's doing like this, waiting on you, and he's not going any further until you serve the ball back, because the game can't go forward till you hit the ball back. Until you get up and do something. When you volley back to him, you'll see you volley back to you. And you and him can get a game going. Beat up on the devil together. But if you're sitting down there with the ball sitting at your feet, talking about, I'm waiting on God. You're going to be waiting a long time, because God is not coming over there to pick that ball back up and serve it you again. He said, look, now I've given my son to die. Isn't that enough? Isn't it your turn now? Isn't it your turn to do something? No, I'm waiting on the Lord. Why? Because sluggards don't like to work. And I've been a slugger before and wasn't even aware of it. The word of God had to show me I was a slugger. I thought I was really a busy Christian waiting on God. And the word had showed me, you're not even doing what God said do. God's giving you an order, and you're not doing the order. He told you what to go do. He told you how to prosper. He told you how to do all that. He's giving you an order, and you're sitting in the back room waiting on him. And we get to heaven and don't get to the front door of heaven and don't get in. He said, God, I waited on you all the time. It's about the same chance you got to get in the tip if you sat back there after you took the order and never did anything. That's about the same chance you have getting into heaven. Because God has said, you didn't wait on me. You never, ever took my order and did what I said. You may have gotten saved and took the order, but you never did the order. You never carried out the order. You never did what he said do. The diligent person will press into the things of God. Let's turn to Proverbs 12:24. Boy, we want to be blessed, but we have to realize that one of the avenues to our blessing is the discipline of diligence. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute or under somebody else's servant or indentured. You know, they're owed to somebody else. But the diligent shall rule. Sometimes in a business, the people who are highly successful were a little more diligent in business than the people who are at the bottom rung. That's not saying people are bad, because everybody's going to be at different rungs, and that's natural. That's where it should be. But generally, it took more to start the company and to risk all your investment to start it than it took. Let's say somebody just gets hired at Microsoft and they're a janitor at Microsoft. If you look at the Microsoft company, Bill Gates, the CEO owner, is getting a lot more benefit out of being an employee at Microsoft than the janitor who just started yesterday. Why? Because he was a little more diligent in the company. He laid down the first thing. He took the vision. He wrote it down. He planned it. He's been through a whole lot more hell and high water, a whole lot more legal battles. The janitor just started today. And a lot of times what people do is they'll come in, they don't want to be diligent, and they'll complain about people eating the fruits of diligence when the Bible said the diligent shall be made rich, the diligent soul shall be made fat, the diligent shall see abundance. And people look at people who are abundant and begin to accuse the people, begin to talk about the people, but they don't say they were more diligent than me. They don't say that person's more diligent than me. That person took the risk to start a business, whereas all I ever did was work for somebody else and complain about them not letting me be in charge. I tell people to complain about the way we run the church. I said, there's a whole lot of sinners out there. Go start one, run it however you want to. But you'll see things differently when you're in the driver's seat. Kids don't see the road from the back seat where you see it in the front seat. But there's always people who weren't as diligent to do a certain thing who think they have 20/20 vision on how it ought to be done. The Chinese said you don't critique or criticize or judge a man until you walk the mile in his shoes. Right. And poor people won't step up into the shoes of success, but yet they know how to succeed. How many people criticize a president? They've never been president.
Good morning, everyone. I want to let you know about something great happening at Joy Faith Christian Center on Sunday, September 21st. We will have our annual Big Sunday Celebration. This is a day of praise, worship, exhortation, and of course, the Word of God. We've shared our mornings together on the radio. Come and be a part of a live service. Be my guest as we roll out the red carpet for you, our partners and friends. Mark your calendar to join me Sunday, September 21st at 11 a.m. at Palm Beach Lakes High School in West Palm Beach, where together we will make a positive change.
How many people criticize a president? They've never been president.
That's right.
How many people criticize the quarterback and they've never had all those linemen coming at them like that? And they talk about it like they know what it's like. Man, didn't he see that guy? He was slightly preoccupied and he had a few more things on his mind than the beer in his hand and the cool drink that you had. He had a few more things on his mind. Yeah, and he remembered that hit last play. So he's trying to avoid that from happening again, so he might be kind of having a little distraction by the guy who keep coming in on the wing. There's a few more things on his mind. He might have in mind this the big game, and if he blows this, he might have a lot of things on his mind you're not thinking about there with your bag of chips in your belly. Got a few more things on his mind. That's his job. He's trying to get reassigned. You ain't thinking about nothing now. You sitting there looking at a TV screen, looking at the whole field is this big. And you can see the man way downfield. This guy trying to see over some tall guy running at him. Why do those people even talk? He was dumb, man. I'd have thrown, I'd have hit that guy in the car. Man, you didn't qualify for water, boy. Don't be talking about what you would have done. They wouldn't even let you carry the water to the players. What you would have done. Don't even try. I'm just being real. I admit it. If I start talking about them, I come back, I say, man, they wouldn't even let me get on this squad. Now you get the ball one time, every time you pick it up, just smack the ball down. You talk what you were going to do. Man, I'd have gone left, then I'd have gone right. Man, they wouldn't let you on the team, man. They wouldn't let you on there for a reason. You're nowhere near half as good as that guy, okay? You don't know. You're looking at a TV with no pressure on you at all. With a cool drink and air conditioning. This man's in a hot field in the stadium. People screaming and hollering. He's hurting me because he just got hit on the last play. People are talking in his ear. People are screaming. It's a big game. It's all this. That's a lot on you, but you're not even seeing what he's seeing. But it's always the people who aren't diligent who think they see from the position of those who have been diligent to get in a position where they see differently. The man from the top of the trees or the woman from the top of the trees can usually see better than the people on the ground. It's a totally different perspective. It's a totally different outlook. But we should be diligent because it tells us later, and we'll pick it up next week, where it says the diligent shall rule. The diligent are the ones who get to the position to get on top to make decisions.
Right.
And unless you're diligent, you never get to a point to make a decision. Because the diligent will rule, the Bible promises it. And those who are not diligent, there's always be, as they said, they'll always be paying tribute. They'll always be under tribute. Under somebody else's command because they were not diligent enough to get. Is there anything wrong being under commands? Everybody's under authority. So nothing wrong because you're under authority. But there are people who are equipped, called, and desire to lead, but because they won't be diligent, they never lead. There's people sitting in churches to try and pastor the pastor, and then all they got to do if they got a gift to pastor is get diligent, educate yourself, and go out there and pastor. The body of Christ needs you. But they want to be in the shelter and the safety of somebody else's ministry trying to pastor them. And it shocks them when they get attitude from that pastor. You would get a whole lot of attitude if you come in here trying to take over because you ain't paid the cost to be the boss.
Right.
I will help you pay the cost, but not here. We'll help you with training. I've had a few people say, Pastor Cook, I believe you're called to ministry. I said, well, if you believe you're called to ministry, I take it as my responsibility to do the best I can to help prepare you for ministry. One person believed they were called, so I said, well, you know, let me tighten it up because you got to be tougher in ministry because you're going to be leading. And you don't always have friends in ministry all the time. You have people who are your friend, as long as you tell them what they want to hear, then they're not your friend when you tell them what they don't want to hear. So you got to get used to that. So I began to share with this person, expect them to do things detailed, to do things right. They didn't like it that much. I'm like, welcome to the ministry. Everybody's not going to like what you do, but you better do what God said do anyway. It's not easy. Everybody's not diligent in serving God. Saul was not diligent in serving God. He was appointed as the king of Israel, but he said, God said, when you were small in your own eyes and you cared about me, then you were good. But as soon as you began caring about the people, how many times in the Bible did it tell people they cared about the people? They came to, I think, Paul or somebody, and they said, I should please God rather than man. Paul set the right example, but you don't think he said that because men were trying to get him to please them? Men were telling him how he should do it and how it should be. And Paul said, you don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ I have. You don't have a vision for my ministry. He says, I have the vision for this ministry. And you can flow with this or get another ministry. But this is the vision for it. And see, that's always been biblical principle. In your life, nobody has the vision for your life like you do. And if people tell me God told them something, I never tell them he didn't unless what they're saying doesn't line up with the word. Because I don't know. If they say God told them to start a flower shop and they was going to be around the world, I say, if God said it, you can do it.
That's right.
You can do it. We're believing God. You're going to do that thing. You press in. You keep going. You do it. God said, I'm going to have a big church. Well, you do it. You're going to have it. If God said that, you're going to have it. Mm-hmm. They come saying something. God told me I'm Jesus Christ reincarnated on earth. I'm going to say, you're lying. Because I got the word to judge you on that one. But other than that, you can tell me anything. It may not be God, but if I don't know it's not God, I'm going to encourage my brother and rejoice with those who rejoice. Because your faith hooking up with their faith will help them get it done if that's the will of God. I say it's the will of God because I don't know. But I do know it's the will of God for me to encourage you in what you believe the will of God is. As long as I know it's not against the will, I'll encourage you in it. Young people, older people, anybody, you encourage them in it. That's what you do. You be an encourager. You give people courage. Why did he tell Joshua, be strong and of good courage? Why does God say we should encourage one another? It seems though there's a problem with people lacking courage.
That's right.
If they need to have all that encouragement going on. Yeah, because you can get afraid what's out there. And a lot of people, like I said, may be called a pastor, but they sit in the safety of another ministry and try and run the ministry. They don't have the courage to get out and do it themselves. They don't have the diligence, the dedication to the call of God, the dependability, and the discipline to get in the Word of God, to get in a course of study, to prepare themselves, and to go out. So you encourage those people by pushing them, by telling them they can do it. But if they refuse to go, you can't do anything. God says that one of the keys to your success and one of the attributes to belong to you as a Christian is diligence. It's diligence. That's stick-to-itiveness. Figure out what you want to finish in your life and finish that. Anything you're not committed to finish, stop doing it. Is wasting your time. And some of you may have things in your life all over the place you're not going to finish. If you're not going to finish that, stop it. You realize that, hey, you know, I was just doing this to be doing something. I never planned on really achieving or accomplishing or doing it. I'm just doing it to do it. If you're not doing it to finish it, stop doing it. It's wasting your time. And focus on something you can do to finish because that's what God's going to bless you at. The diligent shall rule. The diligent shall have abundance. The diligent shall be blessed. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word, and we thank you for the will of the Spirit.
Today's message has been part one of the series, The Diligent Person.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God. Develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by RW Plumbing, Limited Life.